Hello?
Yeah.
Did you confirm with Gopi on this?
Yeah, he's here.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 310-748-202. You've pressed an incorrect key to disconnect. Sorry you were having trouble. Please try again later. Goodbye.
Yeah, I tried to call you earlier, man, because I found this one guy who said he can come out today, and it's $60 for him to come out, but that would be included, you know, if you decided to get the coffee with him. And then the other guy, like, from this morning, he's saying, like, oh, it's maybe between $500 to $600 in labor, but the oil pan, it only costs, like, $40. That oil pan is only, like, $40. I don't see, like, labor's going to be that much more than the...
Did you ask the other guy how much to replace an oil pan?
Well, he told me he would have to, like, look at it faster, you know, like, you know, because he said he doesn't know whether it just needs to be replaced or, you know, entirely what it needs to be.
So that's the thing. They get you, you know,
yeah.
You know, you already invested 60, 80
yeah.
bucks in it, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay. Hello? Yeah. I'm dialing out to Steve
Hi.
Right now. Hello.
Yeah. Hi, I'm too sorry I took a little time.
No, no problem.
Hello, this is Steve.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for talking to us. I think, did
Not
you speak before?
Yeah, we spoke before. Hello?
So this time, hello?
Yeah, I can hear you.
This time we are closer to making our app, so we wanted
Good.
To get some advice from you on a
okay.
couple of things. First thing is how to hand off leads to you.
Okay.
How would you like leads to be handled?
Well, ultimately, via email or text would be my ideal
okay.
situation.
Okay. Okay.
And
when it
do
is,
you want?
When it is, sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
If
no. Go ahead.
When it is handed over to you, let's say by text, right?
Uh huh.
Did you want it already pre-screened or raw?
Yes, I don't want to take any leads that are not qualified or they're not pre-screened. I don't want just generic leads. Ideally, I'd like them to be pre-screened and qualified to make sure that the conversation, that there's a reason for the conversation.
Right. But since we have to make a living, I wonder what the willingness to pay for that is, for the screening.
You wonder, say that part again? You wonder what?
the willingness to pay. In other words, you know, we are not charging commissions on jobs like many other
okay.
apps do. I would like to know your opinion on it.
Well,
but we would like to, yeah.
Well, Yelp, for example, doesn't charge me commissions for screening. They don't screen calls, but
mm-hmm.
Yelp has a website that people type in questions, and
mm-hmm.
based on the questions, you reply accordingly to determine whether you need to have a conversation with this potential client or not.
Right.
So
right.
I guess the pre-screening could go, it could be set up even on a website, so when someone's initially contacting you guys, that they have
mm-hmm.
to meet a certain criteria to even necessitate
mm-hmm.
you forwarding on a lead before, so
right.
you guys don't even have to have a conversation
right.
or a back and
right.
forth with a client.
Yeah. But Yelp, you have to pay, right? Don't you pay Yelp for the lead?
No, I don't pay anything to Yelp.
Oh.
Nothing at all. If you're looking for a painter, you can go on Yelp and say, I want a painter within this region, and you can email, I think it's up to 8 or up to 10 businesses, the same question. Hey, I need a painter for my fence. I need someone to paint my fence. Can you reply back with a quote? And then 8
mm-hmm.
businesses get a email saying, hey, Susie Smith's looking for a fence to get painted. Here's her information about it. You can reply or not reply.
And those leads are free. So you don't really, you're getting enough leads, free leads from Yelp at this point.
What do you mean getting enough? I mean, I get probably 3 to 5 new customers every week and a half from Yelp. And
mm-hmm.
out of those 3 to 5, I probably answer, I don't know, an additional 2 or 3 messages that are not qualified, meaning the person just, they're price shopping. They're not looking
mm-hmm.
to get work done. They're looking to find out who can do something the cheapest, or they're looking to have a question answered for free
mm-hmm.
on how to do something.
And Yelp essentially is free for you, right? Because you don't really spend
yeah,
any
yeah,
time.
Correct. I said, yeah, Yelp is free. Same thing goes for Google, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you
I do not pay either one of those companies for advertising.
And you get Google leads? That's pretty amazing.
Yes. Yeah, that's
oh,
been around
yeah.
for a while. Google hasn't pushed it. Yelp really pushes it. Google doesn't push it. But Google's been around. Well, Google's Google. So.
Yeah, but how did you register for local service as a local service in Google?
Yeah, well, you know, I guess you can say you register, but you take ownership of the account basically on Google,
mm-hmm.
and you
mm-hmm.
say yes, I'm willing to take. So when someone goes on Google and searches and they find me, I think they
mm-hmm.
just click communicate, and they could click communicate via a cell phone or a computer, and that sends
mm-hmm.
me a message from
mm-hmm.
that person. But when I reply to them, it's that's where I'm qualifying the lead, you might say, I guess.
Oh.
Because
so
that
Google,
could be another person kicked.
Right.
So Google's not as many as Yelp. I probably from Google maybe once every 3 weeks I'll hear from somebody from Google. Not from Google, but a customer, potential customer going through Google.
Okay. Okay. But that is not enough leads for you. Am I to understand that?
No, that's not really enough leads for anybody. They don't really promote that part of their business for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They don't really push it. I mean, Google sells Google Ads, of course, that you can be part
mm-hmm.
of app pop-up advertising, but that has nothing to do with that. I think they're separate entities.
Do you advertise on Google?
No, I've never advertised on Google.
And so coming back to my question, maybe I didn't ask you correctly. The leads from Yelp and Google combined, is that enough or not enough?
That's kind of a hard question to answer. If
mm-hmm.
I were starting today with this business, that would
uh-huh.
not be enough. But
right.
because I have, you know, 15 years running this business,
right.
I have a combination of lead sources, not just Yelp, not just Google.
What else
so,
do you have as lead sources?
I mean, referrals, of course. I have, you know, I have 1,200 clients. So clients
wow.
talk to other clients. It's constant referrals from other clients. It's constant repeat business from existing customers. But in the beginning, if I were starting today, Yelp mm-hmm. would not be enough to sustain the business. Over time, it builds and grows, but initially, you're not going to be able to maintain a business just from Yelp.
So what is the willingness for you to pay for a new lead?
What is the what?
Willingness to pay. In other words, would you
how much? What's my price limit, or what's the qualification mm-hmm. for expense? That's a good. Well, for me, I mean, there's other companies out there that do sell lead source concepts. The problem with it, am I seeing? It's a lot of what Yelp is already doing, and they're not adding on any benefit. Meaning, if I pay a company, they're sending me the lead, but that lead may not be, it may be a person just asking about pricing. Now I had to pay for a lead that just a person wants to, they're kicking tires for pricing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just spent money for nothing.
Right, but suppose it was a qualified lead where we already asked the person and qualified them.
Well, a qualified lead that actually turns into business,
mm-hmm.
Well, one company, for example, they used to be a competitor of mine. Now they mm-hmm. no longer service some of the businesses. So now what they've done is mm-hmm. they charge a client. So they get a call into their business saying, we need service. That mm-hmm. that company no longer does this service, so they refer it out to me. What mm-hmm. they do is they charge, let's say they charge the customer $120 an hour. Mm-hmm. I only charge $80 an hour. So they keep the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends. But all that being said, they qualify mm-hmm. the lead. They talk to the person. They verify mm-hmm. that the person actually wants an on-site service call. Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. set up the actual job, and then mm-hmm. they just tell me, please contact this person. They're looking for you to come by for work.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
we have an agreed-upon thing. If I'm there 4 hours, they get the difference between my hourly rate and that person's or that company's normal rate that they would charge to go on site.
And do you get those leads frequently or very infrequently?
No, it's infrequently. I don't know, since they no longer kind of service that into their business, I think they're kind of mm-hmm. getting away from it. They just want to be able to have a source to go to in case they mm-hmm. do need it.
Okay.
So I don't know that they're promoting it as part of their marketing.
Just to confirm, if a lead is completely qualified, you mm-hmm. still only want to pay on a commission basis, not on something like a nominal charge, like $5 for a lead.
If the lead turned into business, I don't mind paying $5 for a lead if it actually
right.
turned into business. But if it's just if I'm given an option of per lead and you know actual visit and actual turns into business versus paying a monthly fee, I would rather go the pay per lead method.
Okay. The problem we have is we don't have any control on how the transaction takes place, right? We could give you a lead on a commission basis, but the transaction is done in cash or someplace else, we don't have any idea how we can keep track of it.
Well, see, that's just, so like that one instance I mentioned, that company that pays me, or that pays me, but that refers their lead. So what happened, I met with them, had lunch with the owner, and we had this mm-hmm. discussion about how we're going to move forward with this. And mm-hmm. what she refers the lead to me, he still has the phone number of that client because ultimately that was his client at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
We have an understanding, we have an agreement, we have emails back and forth in effect, a contract saying, yes, whenever I send you a lead and you go out to this client location, then I get this percentage because you're – so when I write up the invoice, I'm writing up the invoice in the amount that that client that business normally charges, handing mm-hmm. it to their client. That client mm-hmm. pays me whether it be cash or check, then mm-hmm. – this particular company said, I don't need you to drop by and hand me a check every time or mail me a check every time. We just do it every 3 or 4 months, 3 to 6 months. You write me a check for the overall, and I'm the one that tracks, and I send them basically an Excel-type sheet that shows I visited client A on this date for this many hours, and this is your percentage. And then I and literally make a PayPal or a Zelle payment or drop off a check or cash or whatever to them every 3 to 6 months based on the business they generated.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a good arrangement for a trust, you know, trusting relationship.
Right.
The difficulty we have is we can keep track of phone numbers, but we do not know for sure whether the job was completed. We have to rely on the word of the provider, right?
Well, yeah, yes and no, because if you have a phone number to that originating client, if you make it, I would, now this is my suggestion, I guess you might say, you make a follow-up call after the scheduled visit to say, how did the visit go? Was it completed? That way you're on record with seeing that service tech did go out there, service the job, and it looks like you're making the call to follow up to make sure the client was happy. And you're checking on that the service call was actually made.
Okay. So moving on from leads, the second part of our product is going to be CRM, you know, customer relationship management. So you can track all your customers and all your leads and all your payments and all your schedule in one place.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you would be interested in the app?
That's gray area for me. My problem is I already have a calendar index that I already type into. I already type invoices into a Quicken, you know, program. So if I then have to turn and enter it into your guys' program, because that's not going to help me, that's going to help you, you know, the lead source company.
No, it would be automatic. We have QuickBooks Sync and Google Calendar Sync. Which calendar system do you use? Apple?
I use a combination. I use both. Mm-hmm. I use Microsoft and Google. It just depends on where I'm at, how long I'm going to be away from a computer, you know, that sort of thing. It just really depends. But I use a combination, but mostly Microsoft.
I see. But you could miss an appointment because the appointment didn't show up in Microsoft? Or is it all?
Oh, no. I know my appointments multiple days in advance. I've never missed an appointment unless I did not write it down.
That's wonderful. The third part is, okay, these are the two we are planning to offer. The third part is there any future you find in your particular line of work that would be helpful in an app?
Yes. So that kind of, it kind of ties in with what you're looking for, kind of tracking of the lead source, I guess you might say.
Mm-hmm.
So in effect, a time clock. If I show up to a client's location, I hit log into your app, click start on a project, for example, that tracks my begin time, just like you would any hourly employee going on site somewhere, tracks a begin time and an end time of a project.
Mm-hmm.
That would be helpful because I literally am writing that down by pen and paper now and then coming back and inputting after the fact.
Right. That's we can easily provide that from our system.
Right.
When you
if you're creating
an
app, it's a very entry.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just click start work and stop work, and then it counts all the time between, right?
Right. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Anything other than that, if that second part of the second question you had on the, I mean, that's more time and attendance, but the second part of your app tracking for creating invoices sort of thing, if you were going to go down that road, then pre-filled categories for project A, just use it for house cleaning, a clean front window, vacuumed rug where I don't have to type in all of those details repetitively when I get back separately.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a drop down basically.
A template.
Like a template. Yeah, exactly. Like a template. Exactly. A template light item.
That's kind of difficult to do from our.
There are so many variations, I know.
Yeah. So how would you.
And unless you can track history, like if I'm just like anything else in an Excel sheet, if you're constantly typing, you know, the color brown, and every time you type the, it automatically tries to autofill color brown because it sees it in the past.
Yeah, we have that. We have that.
Okay, then that would be enough. You don't need to pre-fill for me, but as time goes on, I build up this historical database, basically. Yeah.
One of the issues we are struggling with that's related to this is that, you know, your customers describe the same job in different language than you do, right?
I translate what they're talking about. I don't take their translation into my translation.
Right.
Because they don't know the technical terms, and I don't give them the technical verbiage when I'm handing them an invoice when it's all done and said. I don't describe it in technical terms. There's no need. They're not going to understand it for the most part. So I break it down into layman's terms so when they read it 2 months from now, it will make sense to them as opposed to it making sense to me because I know the technical translation. So
no, we are thinking of a system that would take the kind of language the consumers use and map it to services that providers can understand. The providers, like, it's like an automatic dispatcher, you know, or a screener.
Right, right, exactly, yeah.
But where could I, could we set up another call sometime? Here's the help we need. When you look at, you have 1,200 customers and you must have done a variety of jobs, right?
Oh, absolutely. Businesses, homes, you name it. I've seen a lot.
Yeah. So if you want to mine data, would you be willing to give us copies of invoices or would you be willing to sit down with us and come up with at least 100 different jobs that typically do? Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm willing to do that.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So, Clayton, we should set up another meeting with Steve, right?
Yeah, we can set something up
on
with
that. Yeah, and how to do that? Because that would be an immense help. Because right now, in many of the professions, the problem with screening is this: that the customer kind of rambles on something, but it doesn't translate accurately to what kind of a job it is, without having to ask them a lot of questions.
It's going to take someone answering that first initial call with technical knowledge to know that when they're talking about blah, 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 they know it really translates to problem X, Y, and Z, not what they're talking about.
Right.
And some of the things they may mention, they may not even be aware that it has nothing to do with what they're talking about. It has something totally unrelated. Or there may be variables to what they're saying that there may be 12 different answers for, only known when someone goes on site. They don't know if it's a hardware problem, a software problem. They just, my computer's running slow. There could be a variance of issues. Is it your internet? Is it the hardware? Is it an infection? Is it, you know, but some of the clients have no idea. They just know their computer's running slow.
Right.
So it runs the gamut. I've seen some people, my son said this. And when I get on site, it had nothing to do with that. Or the son was kind of right. He was starting in the right path, but he didn't keep going. So it really depends.
How often do you get complaints or disputes which you have to handle too?
As far as, what do you mean?
As far as the work. You know, after you perform work, they complain or dispute.
So, I mean, out of the 1,200, I mean, probably, I'd say roughly about 20 or so I've had problems with in the past where I'd go on site, fix something, remove an infection. 2 days later, they get another infection, and in their mind, they associate it with what I did 2 days prior. I probably had about 20 customers overall in the past 15 years that I don't want to do work for ever again.
So it's not a big issue for you.
No. I make my information up front. It's an hourly rate. It's not a break fix service. It's an hourly rate on site. So that's why I have everybody, you know, quantify me as a vendor. Make sure you do your research. I have this education. I have this many years experience. You know, I put the onus on them to say, if you're coming to me, it's because you want me to do the work, not because any other reason. you know, yeah. Or if you're price shopping, then price shop away. If I'm the cheapest, great. Yeah. If not, that's fine too.
Is there any other feature that tracking time is a great feature? We already had that, but it's great with the affirmation from you.
I mean, since you mentioned that the second part on potential issues with clients, I mean, I've had to go to a court maybe 2 times over non-payment for clients. Usually it's businesses, not personal. If there was kind of like when a service person shows up, like a plumber or what have you, if there was some sort of pre-contract that signed saying I'm willing to pay X, Y, and Z for this hourly rate for this person on site, if that was quantifiable before I showed up on site, that might be useful. Not the biggest deal in the world.
Okay. But we have PDF invoice with electronic signing.
No, I mean prior to the work beginning.
Yeah, prior to work beginning. Right.
Oh, okay.
Prior to work, on the order itself. I use the wrong word. On the order itself, you know, when you have a conversation, even when you have a conversation and both of you say accept, it converted to a real order, which can be signed if you want it to be signed.
And that's prior to scheduling, though, right?
Yeah.
Then that would be the only thing that would stick out, and that's not a huge issue. Like I said, I've only had to go to court with 2 clients before for payment problems. But it's not a big issue, but it's just something that sticks out of my mind when I'm going to a client for the first time. What, am I going to end up in court with this person? Usually the conversation I've had with them on the phone already kind of gives me the idea of saying, okay, this person's – they're not that kind of person where they have vendors come to their business and not pay them.
Yeah,
I do a little bit of due diligence on some clients where I'll look up, you know, Dun & Bradstreet, or I'll look up on Yelp, see if anyone other vendors are complaining. And I tread lightly for when it comes to businesses because I know they're protected entities, if they're LLCs or what have you.
Great. But, anything else?
Nothing that jumps out. How about follow-up visits? Let's say you go to a client for the first time, and that client, okay, I want you to come back for this other problem I have, but I want you to come back next week for that. How do you handle that in your app?
Okay,
like follow-up calls.
Because we have all the funnel, right? We have all the organized all the information about the customers and the entire history of your interaction with them. It's very easy to kind of add to that.
It's just considered a new visit. It's not considered a – it
new
doesn't really matter because it's considered a new booking.
It's considered a new booking in the history of interactions with that customer. It's not considered a brand new booking. It's considered as an additional booking with the same customer.
Question first, since you mentioned interactions – conversation versus email versus text. How are you? Are you tracking all of that sort of communication or not?
All of this communication.
Okay.
Even the phone calls.
So would they technically be calling into a phone number you provide, and then you're handing the phone number off? You're switching off the call to my phone number, or are they calling me directly?
Well, actually, within the app, you can make the phone calls within the app without the phone.
Okay, so it's going via over IP via the app, so you're tracking the call via the IP.
Right.
But
when
I go on site, I hand my clients a business card which has my phone number on it.
Right. When you call, if you want us to, then we give you a number, or we can have your number post against the app calls.
Okay, so it's still going through IP based on your app. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. No, that's all I have. That's all the other input I had was curious about.
Okay. Well, wonderful. Clayton, can we set up another call? Oh, one question I have about the old invoices, right? You are willing to give us old invoices so we can capture the kind of work?
Yes, I can do that.
Yeah. How will we get it? In paper form or electronic form?
I have them all electronic PDFs.
Oh, great. That's enough because we have a PDF reader, and that's a wonderful way to do that.
Yeah, mind you, I have thousands of them.
Oh, yeah, we love millions, frankly. Because
okay.
The more we have, the more our...
the more data, the better. Right, I got you.
Yeah, the more data, the better. This is one of the key problems in this industry. All the different ways people say the same thing, right?
Right, tracking of the data, yeah, and consolidating to the finite definition of what that problem was.
So you could just send us a file, a big file, I guess, right? By email?
Yeah, yeah. I can upload, okay. I can email, I can burn to a flash if we meet or however you want to do it.
How much do you think it is? It's probably less than a gig, right?
Nothing more than that. Let me take a look here. I can tell you right now. I've got 4,200 invoices.
Yeah.
Let me see how much data that contains. Actually, it does look less than a gig. Yeah, it's less than a gig.
Okay. Then one thing we can do is we can share a Google folder, you and us, and you can just upload to Google. Does that work for you?
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I'm sorry. It's more than a gig. It's almost 2 gigs.
Yeah, then I think the Google folder is better.
Right,
can take a lot.
To upload
and
that amount of data.
Just upload it there, yeah.
Right. I mean, there will be some sort of agreement, of course, prior to doing all that.
Yes.
Because as you know, all these invoices contain my customers' names, their addresses, some emails, passwords. There's an NDA that we're going to get involved with if we do that, right?
Yes. We will send you an NDA first, and only after we sign it would we do this.
Okay. Then, yes, that's possible. So.
Thank you very much. And hopefully we'll talk again soon. We'd like to have another hour-long conversation with you when you have time.
Okay. That works.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.